الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقد قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers and sisters at the madrasa. Last week we were discussing the need for being in the company of the Ahlullah, or having some relationship, contact, sohbat of the Ahlullah. If you look at history, you find that whoever has achieved wilayat, whoever has gained the closeness and the marifat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, it is because of that person's association or companionship with somebody who was an arif billah. Without a person being an arif of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he cannot get another person to become an arif. To be able to recognize Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, to get his closeness, to be able to recognize Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to gain his muhabbat and his closeness, you have to have somebody who's already got the fire of love of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his heart. Without that, it is not possible to have our hearts lit up. Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one hadith of his comes to mind, which I discussed, I think, in one of the Jummah talks, 2 or 3 years ago must be. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in that hadith, he says that my Rabb ordered me 9 things. My Rabb gave me specific instructions, ordered me regarding 9 things. So tonight, inshallah, we'll discuss some part of that hadith. That Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, firstly he says that my Rabb, Amarani Rabbi. Rabb, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is the Rabb. If we only recognize him as the Rabb, then we will stay away from everything that is displeasing to him and do everything that he has ordered us to do. He it is who has brought us into this world, and after a certain period of time, we have to return to him. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying that my Rabb ordered me. Now surely Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there was no question of him indulging in anything sinful. He was masoom, he was sinless, and he was a Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and all Nabis are protected from sin. Yes, so whenever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that my Rabb ordered me, it just shows how much of need for us there is to listen to it carefully. Because Allah ta'ala is ordering Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so how much need there is for us to listen to what he ordered Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, because it is in actual fact for us. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not going to commit any kind of injustice. He was not going to commit any kind of haram action or deed. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was not going to miss any in the salat. Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam was not going to disobey Allah ta'ala for a single moment. So all those nasihats are in reality for us. So the first thing in that hadith, and I mentioned many times that these majlises are to light up that fire of love of Allah and that fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Both muhabbat and khawf of Allah must come into our hearts. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I should fear him in both privacy and public life. I'm just giving you the meaning of that hadith sharif. that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being ordered that in his private life or public life, inside his home or outside his home, in the bazaars and marketplaces or inside the masjid, within his heart or outside, he must fear Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now there was no doubt, there was no question of any kind of sin that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was going to commit. Who could have had more love for Allah and more fear of Allah than Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam? So in reality it is for us that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is ordering his Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam to convey this to the ummah. That in the ummah there will be many people like us, that we will have two different lives. Our lives inside the masjid will be different from that life which we lead outside the masjid. Our life in the khanqah, in the presence of the sheikh, will be different from that life which we will lead at home. Our life in the jamaat will be different from that life which we will lead outside the jamaat. Two different kinds of lives we will be leading. On the one hand, we will be projecting a lot of taqwa, a lot of piety, a lot of fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Our clothes will be giving the impression that this person is a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. But in reality, in the hearts, there will be nothing but shaitan. The person at heart will be shaitan. But outwardly, there will be nothing but projection of piety. So therefore, Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that my Rabb ordered me, meaning that you and I have to take stock of ourselves. That example again comes to mind, and as I have mentioned, that if that example comes 100 times, one person said that, Maulana, I heard so many bayans, I heard so many talks, I attended so many programs, and when you mentioned that example, that was the time for my hidayat. And he says, I made sincere tawbah from all sins after that example. So we do not know in whose taqdeer and for whom it is, and it could be for myself. So that example that I gave, it's a beautiful example which Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put into my mind. If only we take that one example, it is sufficient for us to change our lives. And that is that our Muslim names, our kurtas, our topis, our beards, the women folk, their cloaks, their hijab, and their Muslim names, all these are signboards. And the example is that of a business, that if we have a signboard, and on that signboard it states that this business stocks sweets, chocolates, cakes, biscuits, fruits, and all kinds of other delicacies, then the person who is walking into that shop, he expects that business to supply those goods which are advertised on the board. Father. That is what it expects. Any one of us, if we read that signboard, then we would expect those things inside that business. But if you walk into that business and there you find cow dung, you find dead rats, you find carcasses, dead carcasses, you find the urine and stool of animals, and you find all other kinds of filth in there, then what would be our reaction? We will dash out from there, and if the manager or the director or the owner of that business is there, we will tell him that that signboard outside reads something else, and inside here you've got absolute filth, nothing but filth. So therefore, take that signboard out from there. Because you are not stalking what you are displaying on your signboard. Brothers, in the same way, these are signboards. The Muslim name itself is the first signboard. And after that, if that person is going into the masjid for 5-time namaz, then that's another signboard. And if that person is keeping a beard and he's got a kurta and he's got a topi, then all these are signs, additional signs. And as I've mentioned many times, that the zahir is also extremely important. Without your external self being correct also, you cannot fly. Both are essential, the inner and the outer. If you have an aeroplane, but the tires are punctured, it's not going to take off. Yet it could be the most beautiful aeroplane, a brand new one, with brand new engine. So in the same way, the zahir is also important. I am not in any way implying or suggesting that if we are not practical Muslims, then we should shave off our beards and we should not go to the masjid for namaz, or we should give up all those ibadat and zikr and tilawat which we are doing because our inner self has not been reformed. I am not suggesting that at all, don't misunderstand me. What I am saying is this, that just as that person wants to see what is advertised on the signboard inside the shop, in the same way, these signs we are advertising that I am a Muslim, meaning that in my heart I have got taqwa, I have got fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is what I am stalking. My heart is also a business. It is a premises in which there are stocks kept. Stocks of taqwa in this heart. Stocks of ma'rifat of Allah is in this heart. Stocks of yaqeen in Allah is in this heart. Stocks of tawakkul is in this heart. Trust in Allah and faith in Allah. Stocks of shukr is in this heart. Stocks of sabr is in this heart. Stocks of all kinds of goodness is in this heart. That is what we are advertising. Now when the person comes in contact with us, the husband and the wife relationship, parents and children, brothers and sisters, clients, traders, all the different people who are coming into contact with each other. Now this is what they expect of this Muslim with whom they are coming into contact with. That the person feels quite confident and satisfied, or he should feel, that this is a Muslim, he has got a Muslim name, so he can never cheat, he will never commit fraud, he will never commit adultery, he will never go towards stealing, he is not going to speak lies, he is not going to falsify documents, he is not going to transfer the business onto his name because I gave him power of attorney and left for Hajj, and he is not going to swindle and embezzle. He is going to be straight in his dealings because he has got taqwa in his heart. This is what these signs indicate. Without that, it means that we are deceiving the people. So we are not saying that remove those signs. What we are saying that what we are claiming by means of those signs, then stock those things. Bring those things into the heart. And how can it come? It can only come when you go and get it from somewhere. It has to come from somewhere. So the Ahlullah, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has made them the wholesalers, or they are the manufacturers, and they will supply to us who are the retailers. But it has to come from somewhere. The Sahaba-e-Kiram Ridwanullah alayhim ajmain, they received it from the Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sohbat and his company was such that if a person just recited the kalima, his iman and yaqeen, all the people of the world, their iman and yaqeen put together, cannot match or cannot compare with the iman and yaqeen of the lowest sahabi. Just one sight, one glance on the face of Mubarak face of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he does not even speak to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And not only that, if he was blind and he did not see the Rasul of Allah, that if the Rasul of Allah saw him, then too he became so great in the sight of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, that the walis of the world put together cannot reach the stage of that sahabi who did not even see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam because he did not have sight. Therefore no Rasul of Allah was born blind. So that in case there is an ummati who is blind, then he may not be deprived of that title of sahabiyat of that Nabi. So that was the position of those people, that they received it from Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That in his company the tazkiyah of their qulub was made, the tazkiyah of their hearts, the purification of their hearts knew no limits. One person comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam and he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a young person. He says, I've got the inclination towards adultery and give me the permission to commit adultery. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam, imagine if somebody has to come and ask us a question like that. Then we will, as Maulana says, we'll give him 2 tamachas and we will boot him out. And we will swear him and curse him and his parents and everybody. But look at the love of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That here's a person who is sick. He needs treatment. Therefore a sheikh has got no right to look down upon any murid. And you will never find them considering the murid to be inferior. No matter what sickness that murid is suffering from, but that sheikh will try all ways of getting him out of that sickness of his, of that problem of his. And he will make so much of dua for him. He will treat him like a patient who is sick. So here Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam realizes that this person, a young person who is asking for this permission, there's something wrong with him. He's sick. He needs treatment. So now look at Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam's method of treatment. Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam asks him a few questions. He says that the woman that you are going to commit zina with, before that it asks him, do you have a mother? He said, yes. Do you have an aunt? He says, yes. Do you have a daughter? Yes. Do you have a sister? I said, yes. So a few questions like that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam first asked him, and then questioned him that if somebody has to commit adultery or fornication with your mother, would you be happy? He says, no. He says, if somebody has to commit adultery with your sister, would you be happy? He says, no. If somebody has to commit adultery with your aunt, you would be happy? He says, no. If somebody has to commit adultery with your daughter, you will be happy? He says, no. So he says, whichever woman you are going to commit adultery or fornication, she's going to be the mother of someone, she's going to be the sister of someone, she's going to be the daughter of someone, she's going to be the aunt or niece of someone. And thereafter, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam takes his Mubarak hands and he places on his chest. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes a dua for him, Allahumma tahhir qalba. Oh Allah, purify his heart, clean his heart. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making dua for him, placing his hand on the chest of that person and says, purify his heart. Qasim Farak, if you are in this congregation, then please go outside, your family is waiting for you. Waghfir zamba, and O Allah, forgive his sin. O Allah, purify his heart and forgive his sin. Now Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam makes dua for this person. And after that the sahabi says that the thought also of zina didn't come into my mind. Until I lived, even the thought of zina didn't come into my mind. Now where can we get a sohbat of that nature? But it's not that there are people not living in this world. Or it's not a question of the world being empty with walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. They may not reach that status of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or a sahabi. But the author of Muzehul Quran, Shah Abdul Qadir Sahib rahmatullah alayh, he made a lot of zikr, tilawat, ibadat and all that in the Jame Masjid of Delhi. And then when he was walking out of the masjid, then there was a dog on the stairs of that masjid. Oh. So his eyes fell directly onto the eye of that dog. There are so many witnesses to it that dog, the dog's habit is barking, jumping, running. He said, but that dog became so quiet and so obedient that so many other dogs used to then follow that dog as if that dog had become some kind of a peer for them. So he says, if the eyes of the wali of Allah can have an effect on a dog, then what kind of effect it will have on the hearts? Therefore, the author of Tafsir-e-Mazhari, Imam Bayhaqi rahmatullah alayh, he says that when we acknowledge that there is such a thing as bad nazar, the Hadith Sharif tells us that there is such a thing as bad nazar, evil eye. Therefore we have got also أَوْزُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ تَامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ كُلِّ شَيْطَانِ وَهَامَّ وَعَيْنٍ لَامَّ وَمِنْ شَرِّ حَاسِدٍ إِذَا حَسَدٍ. Those things which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam used to read and blow on his grandchildren. Now that bad nazar and evil eye, he says that when we accept that there is such a thing as evil eye, and it is in the Hadith Sharif, so therefore we believe in it. And there are so many people that have been affected by evil eye. Fit, healthy people, and suddenly they fall very ill and very sick. Especially women who run about with open hair and plenty of perfume and beautify themselves and stand everywhere in the open markets, and afterwards they complain of evil eyes having affected them. So when we accept that there is such a thing as evil eye, when we accept that there is such a thing as bad nazar, then why don't we accept that there is also such a thing as good nazar? When there is such a thing as bad nazar, then فَكَيْفَ نَزَرُ الْعَارِفِينَ. Wow. Then what about the nazar of the arifin? الَّذِي يَكُونُ كَافِرًا الَّذِي يَكُونُ, that nazar which will make the kafir into Muslim. That nazar, when Hazrat Khaja Ajmeri Rahmatullah Alayh made one journey. In one journey of his from Delhi to Calcutta or Calcutta to Delhi, 90,000 people accepted Islam. Now, which speech of his did they listen to? That nazar of his falling on them and they are accepting Islam. The nazar of Rasul-e Pak, the nazar of the Sahaba-e Kiram, and so many people are accepting Islam. So, فَكَيْفَ نَزَرُ الْعَارِفِينَ الَّذِي يَجَلُ الْكَافِرَ مُؤْمِنًا. That which will make the kafir into mu'minin, into mu'min. الَّذِي يَجْعَلُ الْفَاسِقَ وَلِيًّا. And that nazar of the arifin which will make the fasiq into a wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. الَّذِي يَجْعَلُ الْكَلْبَ insanan. And that nazar which will make a dog into a human being. He says, why don't you acknowledge that there is also nazar of the arifin, that when that nazar falls on you, provided of course the heart is clear, you are sitting in their company with an open mind, as by now I have mentioned many, many times, that with nostrils open and sinuses unclogged. Then, he says, that nazar when it is going to fall on you, he says, if that nazar can change, or if it falls on a dog, if that is the condition of that dog, he says that this nazar of the arifin, it can make a dog into a human being. The dog of the Kahf, Ashab-e Kahf, the people of Kahf, we know the story is in Surah Kahf, in the cave, so the people of the cave. So there was a dog which followed them. That dog will become their companion in Jannat. That dog will become their companion in Jannat. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِتٌ ذِرَعَيْهِ بِالْوَسِيدِ. So that dog which accompanied the Ahlullah, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave that dog the status of Jannati. That dog got that status. And not only that, but my Shaykh Hazrat Mullah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatum, he says, that was zalim kutta aisa khush naseeb ke Quran Majid ke andar jo koi bhi ye lafz padhega kalb to he'll get 30 nekis and blessings. The word is kalb, meaning a dog, but when you are going to read wa kalbohum, then on the recitation of the just that word you will be getting 30 blessings. This is the benefit of the sohbat of the Ahlullah. He says, ab aur kya chahiye. So he says, when this is the effect of the nazar, then just imagine what will be the effect. So Rasul-e Pak, the Sahabas, they received from him. The Tabi'in, they received from the Sahabas. The Tabi'in, they received from the Tabi'in. And it goes on like that. That those who had lit up their hearts in the company of the Ahlullah, then one person lit up thousands of hearts. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh, whose Tablighi Jamaat is throughout the world today, it was that heart of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Alayh which was so purified and so full of muhabbat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and such tazkiyah he had made in the company of his Shaykh, Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Sahib Saharanpuri Rahmatullah Alayh, from whom he had got khilafat, that taqwa of his, and that piety of his, and that noor of his, that is what then caused thousands of hearts to change. The same with Hazrat Shaykh Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, the same with all the other great, great buzrugs and mashayikh, that one person sometimes sitting in one small village, and from there such light radiates that thousands of people or hundreds of thousands of people, their hearts change. Sometimes the person does not even know, and it is the effect of that buzrug's duas that it is having an effect on that person. Many a times it happens that a person changes his life and he does not even know, that young person does not even know that what was it that caused a change in my life. He believes that probably I went to the masjid and I met this person or that person and something happened. But many a times it happens that the Ahlullah, the walis of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, they are sitting in the masjid and they look around this side and that side and they find a lot of young people that are making namaz. Or people who have come there with hippie hair and with sometimes bangle in the hand and sometimes with a ponytail also. So at that time they don't look down upon them. At that time they lower their heads and they say, oh Allah, these servants of yours have come to the masjid. Ya Allah, give them your ma'rifat, give them your yaqeen, give them your muhabbat, give them your closeness, make them also your walis. And that person after some time begins changing and he does not know what it was. It was the nazar of whom that caused the change in him. So therefore Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, I missed out on what we had really discussing. Therefore Rasul-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam says that my Allah has ordered me that I must fear him both in my private life and in my public life. Not only in my public life, I project the image of piety, that in the masjid I am going, I am making dua, I am making zikr, I am making tilawat, I am making ibadat, and I am doing all other kinds of good deeds. And the moment after that, when there is nobody that is watching me, when I am in the privacy of my home, or in the hotel room, or in the business, when there is just the one young secretary that is there, and we are there, or the doctor, when he has just got his nurse there, and himself, they are alone. There are so many such kinds of situations. Now, at that time, for that person to think, no matter how much advances the woman is making at him, or no matter how much of advances the man is making towards the woman, but at that time they say that my Allah is watching. Jo karta hai tu chup ke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. When you are hiding and committing a sin, then believe that somebody is watching you from above. Lazzate arzi mili, izzate daimi gayi. Lazzate arzi mili, izzate daimi gayi. Lazzate bandagi gayi, rahate zindagi gayi. That the moment your person is going to commit sins, it means that this person has become fearless of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then what Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala does is that this person got temporary, very short period of time, he had some enjoyment, some fun, some pleasure. But his izzat is gone for life. Allah ta'ala gives a chance. First time he commits the sin, he gives him a chance. Second time a chance, third time a chance. But it doesn't go on. After that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala exposes it. And the people come to know that this person is indulging in taking interest, this person is indulging in zina, this person is indulging in this and in that. So therefore, this important thing is that the fear of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must be the same, just as the fear we have in the masjid, that we do not read the namaz in any other way but the way that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has instructed us. All of us in the masjid, we are obedient to Allah ta'ala. We raise our hands, we fold our hands, we go into ruku, we make sajda. We haven't heard anybody making 5 rakats when the imam is going to make 4 rakats. And we haven't heard of any person reciting Surah Baqarah in his ruku when he is told to read Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. We haven't heard of any person starting his namaz with the ruku and then getting up and making qiyam. In every action, we say, what did my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam order? And we follow that. So that khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, my Rabb ordered me that I must fear Allah in private and in public. If only this we can take to heart, that Allah is with us, huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum, wherever you are, Allah is with you. How many people are in prison now? It was just a little temptation, a little while they enjoyed some pleasure, and after that they are in prison. And then they regret it all their lives. So many people committed different kinds of sins because of temptation, and after that they regretted it all their lives. Allah Ta'ala will forgive. When this person will make sincere tawbah, istighfar, then in prison or anywhere, Allah Ta'ala will forgive the sin. Allah is merciful. This person made sincere niyat that he is not going to return to those sins, and when he comes out, he will make sure that he pays back to those from whom he has stolen the goods, or he will make arrangements, or he will make amends, or he will seek forgiveness. So now this person, when he is making sincere tawbah, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will forgive him. But human beings don't forgive. The stigma remains. The stigma remains. Imagine a person whose hand, if it's in this Muslim state and the person's hand is cut. Now that person, lifelong, there is a sign that this person committed a theft. Although it is very difficult to prove so many things, and Shariat laws are not such that they just go chopping hands. If you have to look at the history, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and by that time, hundreds of hands should have been chopped. But we get about 6 or 7 cases of hands being chopped. Now imagine, such a long period of time and only about 6 or 7 hands. Why? Because this khawf of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala was developed in their hearts. Khashiyat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the conscious awareness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's presence, This ayat, when it said, "Huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum," then it was yaqeen of their hearts that Allah is with us. Shah Abdul Ghani Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he went to the grave of one very great wali of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and the anwar and the barakat of just that wali in the grave, he said, was so much that for 2 months he could not pick up his eyes and look at the skies. The azmat of Allah was so much over him that he could not even pick up his eyes and look at the skies. For 2 months that azmat stayed on his head. That was the effect of just going and sitting and reading and sending sawab to that wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, and that muraqabah that he made there, this was the effect of that. So now imagine in the sohbat of the Ahlullah, those who have got a heart that is brimming with the love of Allah ta'ala and overflowing, Allah. Then you think no effect will come from that heart? So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was not going to commit any sins. He had greatest khawf of Allah and greatest muhabbat for Allah ta'ala, but it was for us. And especially for us who are associated with some alim or with some buzrug or with some shaykh or in the jamaat work, then it becomes extremely important that our life must be the same as it is in the masjid, it must be the same outside. That no matter how much temptation, but we say, my Allah is watching, my Allah is hearing, my Allah knows. Therefore I cannot cheat anybody, therefore I cannot swear, therefore I cannot gamble, therefore I cannot commit adultery. Now somebody will say that, how long are we going to carry on like this? How long do we stay like this? People are enjoying themselves, they are going to cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, dancing, drinking, listening to music, and all kinds of fun and entertainment. So how long we are going to stay away from all these type of things? Our life will become very boring. Brothers, when we are going to please Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala is the creator of happiness. He is the creator of happiness. And He will create that happiness in our heart, that without all that we will be enjoying the pleasures of the world. Allah ta'ala will give it inside the heart in a capsule form. If we are going to please Him, then you think Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is such that He is not going to please us? Barbaad muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge, barbaad muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge, mere dil na shad ko wo shad karenge. He says, my dil I've already made barbaad, I've smashed to smithereens all the evil desires that are coming into my heart. Now my Allah will not cause it to be destroyed again for the second time, because it was for His pleasure that I destroyed the pleasures of my heart. Now my Allah will give me happiness in my heart. Mere dilet na shad ko wo shad karenge. It will be like the flower that blooms in the midst of thorns. That outside conditions can be anything, but inside the person will be enjoying a communication with Allah, a closeness of Allah, a muhabbat of Allah, a yaqeen of Allah, a marifat of Allah, that this person's heart will be generating such noor that even those people who will be sitting in that person's company or associating with him, they too will sense it. Say, like when kebab is fried, then the flavor of that kebab goes far and wide. Or when we are brining the meat, then the flavor of that bright meat goes far and wide. Wow. Therefore, I mentioned in one of the majlis that if the neighbors are poor, then do not bry meat outside, because we will be causing a pain. Wow. We will be causing them a pain, that they will be desirous also of bright meat. Yeah. At that time, go inside the house and eat, or send some to the neighbors so that they do not feel deprived. That is akhlaq, that is etiquette. So when the meat is being bright, when that flavor goes far and wide, then imagine the brying of the hearts of the Ahlullah with the fire of the love of Allah. The hearts of the Ahlullah, there is a fire of love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala which is brying their hearts. So there you get flavor. Here you get noor that goes far and wide. Allahu Akbar. This example just came to heart and mind now. That when we brine that meat, then what happens? There's a flavor, aroma that goes far and wide. And how do you brine? You put fire beneath the meat. So there is a fire of love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala which is burning the hearts of the Ahlullah. That is why that famous ashar again. Shahon ke saron par taaj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Shahon ke saron par taaj gira se dard sa aksar rehta hai. Aur ahle wafa ke seenon mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. Aur ahle wafa ke seenon mein ek noor ka darya behta hai. So we know of the waters of the ocean, but he says here there's an ocean of noor that flows in the hearts of the Ahlullah, whereas the shahs, the kings, they've got crowns on their heads, and those crowns are causing them nothing but pain. Sleepless nights, restlessness, anxiety, worries, fear, plenty of military and plenty of bodyguards and plenty of everything, but they cannot be in peace. And the Ahlullah, they have got the diamonds of love of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in their hearts, and they carry their diamonds everywhere, and nobody can snatch it away from them. Nobody can snatch it away from them. The most powerful kingdom of this world cannot take those diamonds away from their hearts. The diamonds of this world, you have to put it in the bank, put it in the vault, put it in your pocket, put it in some chest, and still after that you still have to have security over those expensive diamonds. And these diamonds, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives it to them in their hearts. If only Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala had to show it what is there, then everybody will believe. Then everybody will want it. Then everybody will chase after it, because it becomes open. Therefore Allah ta'ala has kept a secret. In fact, many of the Ahlullah, you will find them dressed so simply that you cannot even make them out that this is a wali of Allah carrying some diamonds in his heart. Sheikh Jalaluddin Rumi Rahmatullah Alayh, when he met his Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Shams Tabriz Rahmatullah Alayh, he told his Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Shams Tabriz Rahmatullah Alayh that give me also a drink, give me a cup, you have drunk oceans and oceans, give me a cup of that drink of marifat of Allah. So his Sheikh Hazrat Maulana Shams Tabriz Rahmatullah Alayh at that stage told him that I don't have anything, I've got nothing, what are you chasing after me, go somewhere else. So what a beautiful example he gave him. He said, oh Sheikh, even if you say you are nothing, if a person is intoxicated, he has drunk a lot of liquor, brandy, wine, and is intoxicated, and then he hides the smell of his mouth with elachi, or any, like in our times we'll say some mint, or some chewing gum, or something else. So if he hides the smell of his mouth with elachi, lekin in nazron ko kahan chupayega? Where will he hide those eyes which are gone red with that drink? He says, where will he hide those eyes which are gone red with that drink? So where can you hide from me what you have got in you? I'm not going to leave you, he says. And then he says that Rumi, Jalaluddin Rumi, did not become Mawla-e Rum until he did not become the ghulam of Shams Tabriz. Until then, people only knew him as Maulana Rum, Rahmatullah Alayh now. But when he became the ghulam and the servant and the khadim and the murid of Hazrat Shams Tabriz, Rahmatullah Alayh, then he became Mawla-e Rum. After so many years, we are taking his name. So many hearts he lit up with the love of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. So my brothers and dear sisters at the madrasa, the enjoyment, the fun and the pleasure that we are chasing after, it's nothing in reality. Again, I repeat that same question, that if a person has to ask somebody who committed zina for 60 years, every night he committed zina, and ask him after 60 years that what do you have now to show that for 60 years, what did you gain? Or the person who listened to all that filthy music and everything else, or read the filthy literature and watched all the porn movies, ask him after 60 years, now what do you have to show in your life? Nothing but restlessness, anxiety, worries, pain, sickness, problem, diseases, and every other kind of difficulty. Because the person distanced himself from Allah, Allah connects him with the fire of Jahannam. So having everything, but still Allah makes his life restless. Two people, when I went to Karachi, on that very day, two people landed in hospital. a young boy and a young girl. They were deeply in love with each other, and they finally decided that they should marry, but the parents did not agree for some reason or the other. So both of them took poison and decided to commit suicide. But the poison neither killed the boy nor killed the girl. Wow. But it burned their intestines and burned their inside, and they were restless and full of pain and agony. Wow. And they were lying in one of the hospitals in Karachi, and the newspapers reported that. Wow. What did they get? So in sins, there's going to be no peace. There's going to be no peace. The fish cannot enjoy peace and satisfaction outside water. We haven't heard of one fish up till now telling us that now I am tired of being in water. For so long in water, how long am I going to remain underwater? Wow. Now I'm very tired and I caught a cold. So therefore, please get me out of this water. Have you ever heard a fish complain? Even if we have to give a beautiful speech to the fish that outside the water, I'm going to give you biryani, I'm going to give you a palace, I'm going to give you a home, I'm going to give you everything. The fish will say, my satisfaction is inside the water. And that too deep down in the water where nobody can catch me from the top. Because if we are going to stay in shallow water, then when the heat of the sun is going to evaporate the water and is going to become even more shallow, then we have seen in India, Molana, in the talabs, that the people will go there and they'll catch the fish with their hands because there's no water left there. The fish are flapping. So when the heat of the sins is going to affect the person, then he will be caught and trapped by shaitan and nafs. So he must go deep down in the water. فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Therefore, again, in Tafsir al-Mazhari, the author of Tafsir al-Mazhari, Imam Bayaqi Rahmatullah Ali, says that Allah bi dhikri Allah tatma'innu al-qulub. So here he says that that the ba'de is not just together with, it must be deep inside. He says it is ma'na mein ye fi ke hai, that inside. Because if the person has got a little bit of zikr, a little bit of tilawat, ibadat, and he's not deeply engrossed, then he will not get that satisfaction. Even if he's got a few sins in his life or one sin in his life, there will be to that degree some restlessness in that person's life. Yes, we are human beings. We are all sinful. We are all committing mistakes, errors. We are slipping and falling all the time. But don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Don't despair of His mercy. We are human beings, and therefore Allah Ta'ala has kept the door of Tawbah open. But there must not be an intention of returning to that sin all the time. Accidentally again the person slips and falls, again rush to the bathroom and have a shower, but purposely to go on and on and on, then there is a danger that this person sometimes may even lose his iman, and he will not even realize it. He may not even realize it, because after some time, then they start making statements. Then they start making such statements which are of kufr. That this teaching of Islam is difficult. That teaching of Islam was for the people of 1400 years ago. And that teaching of Islam needs some reformation and change. Because now they have become so used to that filthy lifestyle that they are not enjoying any kind of peace and happiness. So now they find faults with Islam. Now they find faults with Sharia. Now they find faults with the Quran Sharif. It is just like that person who, or that woman who had just changed the napkin of the baby, and there was some stool that was still left on her fingertips, and then there was the need to look for the moon of Eid or Ramadan. So women have the habit that when they're looking at the skies, then they keep the finger on the nose. So when she put her finger on the nose, then she smelt from her fingernails. So she said, the moon of tonight seems a bit of rotten. There's a bad smell. The moon of Eid has got a bad smell. So the bad smell was not in the moon. The bad smell was in her fingertips. So like that, the weakness is in us. Or a very ugly person. These are just examples. A very ugly person was going past the jungles, and he had never ever seen his face in the mirror. He had never seen a mirror. So there was somebody who had thrown one mirror there in the jungle and went past. So when he picked it up and he looked at his face, dark and ugly and terrible looking, so he said, no wonder people threw you here, because if you were good looking, they wouldn't have thrown you here. So he thought the mirror was ugly. So it was not the mirror that was ugly. So all the faults that we find in Shariat, in Islam, in Deen, it is actually our heart which we are seeing. The purer and the cleaner our heart, the more we will enjoy zikr, ibadah, tilawat, namaz, talking cheerfully and happily to the family, caring for them, providing for them, doing all the good deeds and actions. That is will be our enjoyment, serving the creation of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, assisting and helping the needy and the poor. These will be the things that will then occupy our time, and reading good Islamic literature, reading the translation of the Quran Sharif, reading the tafsir of the Quran Sharif, sitting in good gatherings. These are the things will going for jihad, going making sacrifices in the path of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. These with the things that will then become our enjoyment and pleasures in life. So just as that fish doesn't get tired of being in the water, a believer does not get tired in practicing upon the Sharia, because that is his water. It gives him peace of mind, it gives him satisfaction, it gives him contentment. That is what gives him contentment and satisfaction. He wants to be the fish. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ke dariyaya qurb ki gehrai ki majli. The ocean of closeness of Allah ta'ala, this person then wants to be the fish that is right at the bottom of that ocean of closeness. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give me, give you, and give all the ummah of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the tawfiq to make sincere tawbah from all sins. And may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala make our lives in accordance with the Quran and the Sunnah of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and may he fill our hearts with the noor of taqwa, with the noor of his muhabbat, and with the noor of the love of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we detest and dislike everything that is displeasing to our beloved Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. اللهم ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع الحليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الشقاق والنفاق وسوء الأخلاق اللهم إنا نسألك العفو والعافية والمعافاة الدائمة في الدين والدنيا والآخرة والفوز بالجنة والنجاة من النار. اے اللہ ہم سب کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. اے اللہ ہمارے صغیرہ کبیرہ عمدن خطاً ظاہری باطنی ہر گناہ کو تیرے فضل و کرم سے بخش دے اور معاف فرما دے. ہم سب کو نیک بنا دے, ہم سب کو اپنے اولیاء میں شامل فرما دے. اے اللہ اپنے دریائے قرب کی گہرائی کی مچھلی ہمیں بنا دے, دریائے قرب کی گہرائی کی مچھلی ہمیں بنا دے. نفس و شیطان, اے اللہ ایک لمحہ بھی ہمیں تیری ذات پاک سے جدا نہ کر سکے, ایسی ہماری زندگی بنا دے. اے اللہ ہم سب کو صراط مستقیم پر قائم فرما, دین کے جتنے کام بھی ہو رہے ہیں سب کو قبول فرما, کام کرنے والوں کو اخلاص کی دعوت سے مالا مار فرما, جو بیمار ہے ان کو شفا عطا فرما, جو قرض دار محتاج اور تنگ دست ہیں ان کی پریشانیوں کو دور فرما, جو بے اولاد ہیں ان کو نیک اور صالح اولاد عطا فرما, جن کو تو اولاد دے چکا ان کو نیک بنا, دیندار بنا, والدین کے اور آپ کے فرما بردار بنا. اے اللہ ہمارا خاتمہ ایمان کے اوپر فرما, کوسوا, پیلسٹائن, کشمیر, جہاں کہیں بھی مسلمانوں کے اوپر مظالم ہو رہے ہیں, اے اللہ تو ان ظالموں کو ہدایت نصیب فرما, اور اگر ہدایت ان کے مقدر میں نہیں ہے تو ان کو عاد اور سمود کی طریقے سے برباد فرما. ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا مولانا محمد وآله وصحبه اجمعين برحمتك يا رب.